We're back on WPTF, hour number one. Does it seem like an hour here, Patrick? Say, aren't you having a great time?
Great time, yeah.
Yeah.
I hope so.
By the way, Mike, let me call out a dear friend of mine, Allie Ray McCullough.
Sampson County. Yes, sir.
Allie Ray, I hope you're listening. Call us and tell us what's happening in Sampson County. He's a wonderful person who's in real estate, and it was a friend of my friend Locke Faircloth.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
And
I interviewed Senator Faircloth in his office in Washington in 1994.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, Locke and I ran against one another in the primary for governor.
Right.
And he was a delightful person to be with.
Yeah. Smart man.
I used to love to sit beside him with all these infernal forums we had. And we would sort of joke about other people and give them little nicknames, which I won't.
And he survived a plane crash.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. You're talking about resilient.
Well, he half saved some of the other people.
Yeah.
They were on that. My friend Brad Crone.
Brother Brad, yeah, who used to work here.
So, Addie Ray, I hope you're listening. Give us a call.
That's right. Senator Faircloth had quite a cattle farm out there, didn't he, in Sampson County?
He certainly had everything you can think of.
Yeah.
Cattle farms, owned all kinds of mills, car dealerships.
Right.
And he loved a dime, yes.
Good for him. Smart man. All right, Addie Ray, you call us. Steve is with us. Steve, good morning.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Steve, what's going on? Your day lilies about give out?
Well, yeah, they did that about a month ago.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I'm just out here trying to catch up on my weeding now that it's cooled off a little bit.
Well, you need to move to Washington State where they don't have many weeds.
I would not move there if you paid.
I think I would like it. I mean, it's cool and dry and
it's not dry. They say it only rains once a year out there. It starts in September and it ends in April. So
well,
yeah.
I mean, I don't mind rain, but don't they have desert out there too?
They do.
A little too progressive for me.
But you don't like to be progressive, okay?
I don't like progressive. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, just to get this out now, we're having our September daylily meeting tomorrow.
Well, everybody's got meetings or sales. Are y'all going to sell? Yeah. Where are y'all going to sell some daylilies?
I don't know. It just doesn't look like we're going to have a sale. It's just hard to establish that and get a place where we can do it.
That's true. Yeah.
And but our meeting is tomorrow. Linda Sue Barnes is going to do a slideshow of the national daylily meeting that was held in Seattle. With pictures of the gardens from there. So that's it's at 2:00 at the J.C. Ralston Arboretum.
That must have been a really progressive meeting out there in Seattle.
It must have been, yeah. We went out there when my daughter lived there. Her husband was stationed at one of the Army bases there.
Mm-hmm.
And we went out there to visit twice. And it's a nice place to visit, but I definitely, for the price of the housing, taxes.
Yeah, I'm sure all along the West Coast, the housing prices are.
I wouldn't want to live there.
Yeah.
There's no state tax. They get it from you every other way.
Well, Yeah. Anyway, it was a nice visit, but I found out that I definitely didn't want to live on the West Coast.
So have you been out there weeding or just kind of cleaning up, or what are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm trying to get caught up from not weeding last year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I understand that.
I was so sick last year, I couldn't hardly get out the door. And I'm finally getting out. I'm starting to clean out some of my garden now.
Good.
And I'm going to be moving some daylilies. I started a new bed so I could move some daylilies from where they're struggling. So we got a fringe tree, and in the drip line, I've got daylilies that are just absolutely being choked out.
Right.
So I got to get them moved before they expire.
Yeah, well, I've got the daylilies you gave me in the ground. They're getting ready to put some fans out.
Well, good. I'm glad they adjusted. I know I gave them to a good parent.
Oh, absolutely.
No doubt about that.
And I love Linda Sue because she's the one that helped me win that. I won a blue ribbon, Patrick. One time we were going to hold a show up in North Hills, and they had
Crabtree.
Crabtree, and they had a daylily show there, and I brought a daylily in there to just ask somebody to identify it because my mother had grown it for years, and the lady came up and said, let's just put this in the show. And along about 3 o'clock, Steve called me and said, well, you know what? You got a blue ribbon.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was so thrilled about that blue ribbon. I've got it hanging right there in the middle of my office.
Wow.
That's the truth.
It was a flora plena.
Yeah, you identified what it was. Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's what they call a historic daylily.
Isn't that what your mama grew?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I brought it from Boone when I came here 40 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
You go up in the mountains, you'll see them along the side of the road.
It's a ditch daylily. Yeah.
It's a ditch lily. Yeah. It's a very vigorous grower, too.
Right.
I'll let you guys go.
There's one I grow that I really like, and I'll be honest with you, I don't grow a lot of daylilies just because everybody grew them up in the mountains, so I kind of never really got into daylilies. But there's this one called Mascara Snake, and I'm not sure if I like it because I like it or I like the name, but it's actually beautiful. It's a very narrow-petaled daylily. I really like that one. Mascara Snake. I just always like the name.
You have one of those, Steve?
The daylily growers have a very unique sense of humor. When they name, there's a couple of people that name their daylilies. There's one that I got up here that's called a chick kissing a moose on a windstick.
I love that.
And if you think about it, that's a children's book.
Yeah, yeah.
It's from the author that made the Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round.
Yep.
So he named his daylily that. It was because him and his wife were having a very acrimonious divorce.
Ah.
He was the registrar, and he wanted to make all the names of his daylilies that year as long as he could. you got about 80 characters you can name, and he used every letter.
Well, I'm looking at photos of these. Do you have that variety?
Yeah.
I said it's beautiful.
It's like a miniature spider. It's a very beautiful flower.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah.
And I've got one called Little Black Bud, which is a very popular one that is about as dark as you can get a daylily to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything's tagged in my garden, so you get to see some of the unique names that they name.
Well, you take care, Steve.
Huh?
I said you take care now.
Yeah, you too. I got to get some stuff done before it gets hot today.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Supposed to be up in the 90s again.
That's right. Yep. Feels warm out there now.
Speaking, I love you guys.
Take care, buddy.
Speaking of an acrimonious marriage, one time I had a client come in And she said, I want a divorce. I said, how long have you been married? She said, well, close to 70 years. I said, why in the world, after 70 years, would you want a divorce? She said, well, Rufus, it's this way. Enough's enough.
That must have been a messed up man.
Oh, man. It was a woman.
I mean, the man she was married to.
Woo.
He must have been really messed up.
70 years.
Yeah. So, yeah. Love this.
No more divorce lawyer for me. I said, that's the last one I'm going to ever have in my life.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. Yeah, you need one of these, Rufus. I do, too.
I don't know if
I got enough sun for them.
The mascara snake. So my dear friend Doug Ruhren, he's a horticulturist out at Juniper Level Botanic Garden, and he was at J.C. Ralston before that. He's one of the real great plantsmen of this area that kind of has flown under. His name's not out there as much as it should be. He's amazing as a human being and as a plantsman. He's just unparalleled. But he gave me that. Because I always said, I don't want any daylilies. I used to have to deal with my grandmother's daylilies all growing up. And he said, well, you'll like this one. And I did. And it's really stunning. Mascara snake.
Maybe we can talk Steve into giving us a cutting.
Yeah, that's true. He does have. Maybe we can get some.
Maybe divide it
from him.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Y'all having as big a problem with weeds this year?
Worse than I've ever had in my life.
Me too.
I mean, insects and weeds.
That blasted stilt grass.
Whoever
brought that over here. Now, Ann said that it was
in packaging.
You
used as packaging.
Packaging, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's...
Now, in the lawn, I can do that, Patrick, because I've often... Our audience knows that I'm not a lawn purist. If it's green, I mow it, but...
Well, I'm not anymore because I don't have... I have so much shade and so forth that, just...
But when it starts getting into my flower gardens, that's when I get mad, and I've noticed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a huge problem, not just for that, but for... Particularly up in our area, Rufus, it's been incredibly damaging to our natural communities, too.
It's so
difficult to get out of our wetlands.
It's as bad as kudzu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, worse.
In Wisteria.
Worse.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk about kudzu and whatever. We'll talk about some gardening and other things. Coming up.
You
know how the show works.
Enough's enough.
Enough's enough.
Enough.
We'll talk about divorce coming up next on the Weekend Gardener. It's 9:20. We're back on WPTF for the Weekend Gardener. I almost met Patrick's wife just a minute ago, and I almost met his dog. I was hoping that she would bring the dog up here to howl. Don't you like a good hound dog howl,
well,
Rufus?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to a visit from a foster dog person. They're bringing a dog out for Linda and me to look at after the show.
Wonderful.
And those people that are foster parents for dogs are just wonderful people, I think.
Oh, yeah.
We've never been without a dog, Patrick, but since the last one was my garden dog, Jasper.
Yeah.
He was the Weekend Gardener dog.
He was indeed.
Yeah.
So we're going to give a try on this little doggy.
Uh-huh.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice.
So what do you have, Patrick? A Tennessee?
Tennessee Treeing Walker. She's a
coon
hound. A beautiful dog. And never, ever barked or howled.
Ooh, Lord have mercy.
Never.
Wow, that is a well-trained dog.
Yes, well-trained. She's a rescue. We adopted her from Saving Grace.
Mm-hmm.
North of town here. But she's wonderful.
Did something happen to her larynx?
Miss Golda. she does in her sleep when she's dreaming, she'll and she'll howl. She'll get up and howl sometimes then. But she's nonverbal, and she had a really, really rough life.
Aww.
And you'd never know it today because she has her own king size bed.
Good for her.
She kindly threw my wife and I out, and
isn't it amazing what we'll do for a dog?
Oh, anything for a dog.
But it's not like Louis Grizzard's dog. He says, one time I was saw my dog. He was sitting on the toilet reading the New York Times.
I always sign off with be the kind of person your dog thinks you are.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
What's your dog's name?
Golda.
Golda.
Golda, okay. Yeah.
Well, maybe your wife is listening right now.
I hope so.
Golda?
I hope Golda's listening.
Golda?
That was the name of a famous prime minister of Israel, Golda Meir.
That's true.
Yeah.
That was absolutely true. Nice. Who I think, which president was it? I can't remember which one, but he said he was the toughest man he ever had to go up against.
I think it was Nixon.
It was Nixon.
Nixon.
Very famous.
I remember
quote.
Nixon.
Very, very famous quote. Yeah. Yeah, you remember Nixon, all right. Hey, you know, we were talking about stiltgrass and the problems that we have with invading our natural communities and particularly damaging to like our really rare mountain wetlands areas, particularly up in my home county in Allegheny. We've had huge problems with it. But I want to give a plug for an event that's coming up too, which is I'm currently the president of the North Carolina Friends of Plant Conservation. Mm-hmm. And our mission is solely to support the Department of Agriculture Plant Industries unit called the Plant Conservation Program in North Carolina, which is responsible for protecting the rare plants in North Carolina. And we operate 27 preserves around the state.
Out of Steve Troxler's shop?
Out of Steve Troxler's shop,
yeah.
And we have our annual meeting coming up on October 10th and 11th down in Montgomery County. In Troy at the Montgomery Community College Friday night on the 10th. We have speakers that are coming to speak that evening. And on the 11th, though, we're doing field trips to an area of the state that a lot of people don't get a chance to get out and explore in the Uwharrie Mountains down in Montgomery County. So we have a hike on that that following day on the 11th, and we also, a very special thing, we're going to take a paddling trip up at Falls Lake to our Falls Dam there to see the Yadkin River goldenrod. It's a goldenrod species, Solidago plumosa, that's known from one place in the entire world, and we thought it was extinct for many, many years until we relocated
right here in Wake County,
Baden Dam. Yeah, no, this is down in Montgomery County.
Yeah.
So,
oh my,
that's coming up.
More of the Weekend Gardener straight ahead here on WPTF. We'll talk about this. There's a winery I went to near Albemarle that's in the Uwharrie, and it in the winter, and it was so beautiful. It really made an impression on me. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF.
Where?
The CIA. Gentleman Investigative Agency.
Jay, that's right.
Send me your address there.
We're on the air, Rufus.
Oh, excuse me. Well, we were talking about a very worthy cause, the Chitlin' Club, which...
You're talking about the CIA. People are going to wonder.
Chitlin' Investigative.
The Chitlin' Investigative Agency, yes.
You know, we were hoping to have the auditor, Dave Bolick, on. He was going to... We couldn't work out the scheduling for him to be on.
Yeah, Dave, give us a call.
I was really worried that that the state auditor was going to audit the Weekend Gardener, and so I was getting a little nervous about that. I didn't know if I'd have to go up before his tribunal.
Well, I saw the former auditor last night on State Lines, Beth Wood. She did a great job.
Good.
Yeah,
got a lot of eclectic group of people on that show, including you. But they do a great job on that show. 919-860-9783. Joe is with us in Carrboro. Hey, Joe.
Hey, good morning. Yes. Can you hear me?
We're loud and clear.
All right, good. Enjoying the show and the discussion of gardening dogs as well.
Yeah.
Rufus, is that a plot hound you got recently?
Well, no, we're going to try out a dog, Joe, after the show, and it looks to me like it's mixed beagle and maybe a foxhound, yeah.
From the picture. A hound dog.
Yeah.
You know, mutts make the best dogs, but you've heard that. And I think a mutt makes the best politician, but we won't go there.
Absolutely. So, Rufus, my God.
Rufus, did you have anything
I'm a mutt.
To do with the plot hound and any legislation there?
No, I applauded it, though. It's a great dog.
Yeah, it's our
state
dog.
Well, I want to tell you, we were having a lot of mosquitoes over here in Chapel Hill, where I live over here, on the west end of Chapel Hill. And it was a big problem. And then, you know, we had this, all of a sudden I've got all these gray and purple-looking horn frogs in my garden since Monday night. And the mosquito population has dropped immensely.
Wow.
So I'm very thankful to those horned frogs that came in Monday night.
Do you have a body of water nearby?
Well, you know, I'm just wondering if they got on the airplane from Texas.
Texas.
they may have.
Well, I would say, you know, they've been most beneficial. And that was about the only good thing that came come out of that whole expedition on Monday night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
we won't go there, I guess.
No, Rufus is a little sensitive about all of that. I'm not aware.
$30 million well spent, Rufus, right? You know, you got him for 3 years. But getting back to gardening here.
Hey, you know, you're talking about mosquitoes, dragonflies. Patrick told me that you need a big group of dragonflies. How do you track dragonflies?
Well, so at the downtown Cary Park where I'm currently at, we have a big stormwater pond, which should be absolutely filled with mosquitoes, but we don't have mosquito problems at the park, and we don't spray at the park. And the way we control them is by encouraging predatory insects in the water. And the key to this, which a lot of folks miss when they're building their backyard pond or if they have a small farm pond or whatever, is we mow right up to the edge of the pond or we put riprap around the pond. And the idea... That encourages mosquitoes. The way we do it is we don't have fish in the pond. You think fish would eat mosquitoes. They do, but also they eat the insects that are much better at eating mosquitoes. So we as long as you provide a ton, and I mean a lot, of what we call emergent, submerged, and floating aquatic plants in your pond. So if your pond is beautiful like it is at downtown Cary Park,
yeah, we noticed that.
Full of lotus. So the lotus right now, if you have not been out there, get down to Cary's downtown park. It's stunning. The lotus display is the best I've ever seen. But all of that surface area in the pond, all the vegetation help to control the nutrients, but they also provide surface area for a lot of insects. And so we don't have mosquito problems. We have outdoor nighttime things going all the time. So that's a key if you have water.
Somebody told me that wasps or those black wasps, what are those black things? I'm trying to remember what they are. They're huge and they sting you.
You might be talking about cicada killers.
They eat a lot of mosquitoes here. I heard that birds do as well. Is that correct?
That actually probably not.
Not correct.
Bats and birds, folks like to think they eat mosquitoes. People put up purple martin houses around their ponds and such.
How about frogs? Horned frogs.
Yeah. Now, frogs are good at
especially
at
the horned frogs.
Frog legs are good, too.
Yeah, that's right.
So bats don't eat?
No. It would be nice because we want people to encourage bats, but most of our bats actually eat moths and beetles. They don't spend a lot of time eating something.
All right.
Well, go out and tend your horned frogs.
I will.
Yeah, and you need dragonflies.
And I won't be cutting the sleeves off any sweatshirt.
No, me neither.
And I won't be jiggling too much when I walk across.
All right, Joe, you're the man.
Y'all have a wonderful Saturday. Here come the Cavaliers.
All right, take her easy. All right, it's 9:43. The Weekend Gardener, Mike Rayleigh here. And we are joined this morning by Emmy Award-winning Patrick McMillan, a retired professor at Clemson University, and Brother Rufus, who is not retired and never will retire.
No way.
Is that true? Is that true, sir?
Very true. Yeah. Very true.
I'm not sure that I will.
Well, you've proved it. 50 years at one place?
And
that's a doggone record.
I can't find anything else to occupy my time that I enjoy as much, even though it's hard work.
There'd be much weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth.
Doubtful.
If you were to retire.
Doubtful. Very doubtful. But I appreciate the sentiment, Counselor. 919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF. And I keep seeing hound dogs over there on the thing. Look at that, Rufus. Look over there on the television. The guy's got him I don't know what they're doing, but he had a bunch of hound dogs out there.
Oh.
Yeah. So do you know if this dog that that's visiting you today is a howler?
I don't know. The lady gave a description and said that all sorts of things. Didn't mention the howling. But if it's got any beagle in it, like I think it does,
it'll
from the
howl.
Picture,
yeah.
It will howl.
And the darndest things, I remember Melissa and I were first married. We lived in a duplex, and beside us, this gentleman had a pack of, and this was in Raleigh, had a pack of beagles. And
oh, wow.
I don't know what would stir them up. So, you know, at 5 o'clock in the morning, they'd go off, and then you would hear him.
Oh,
tell
wow.
them to be quiet. But he didn't he didn't say it like that.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
they
really
tune
up.
The scent of a rabbit in your yard.
I don't know. Maybe it was that. But at any rate, yeah, I hope that goes well today. So
I do, too. I'm looking forward to seeing the little honey bun, I think she called
Well, you need someone to help you water your estate.
Yeah, Jasper was real good,
there.
Real good about that.
Yeah. But, we were talking a little bit about insects. There's so many great insects, pollinators out there. And for the last few weeks, I've on my walking route, a friend of mine has a fairly large Russian sage, several mm-hmm. of them, as a matter of fact. But they, along about 6 o'clock or so, they're full of bumblebees sleeping.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I just get such a kick out of that.
Yeah.
It's such a pretty plant. If you got full sun and, you know, that bluish, greenish-bluish foliage and the purple flowers and the bumblebees all throughout.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. That, and, you know, I always tell people who are looking to attract pollinators, you know, there's so many pollinators. And this is the best month right now. September is tops month for butterflies in the garden, by the way. I don't know if you've noticed that in the past, but we have all the monarchs coming back through. So you want to make sure you have your milkweed plants out there. But it's also just the end of the summer and everything's out. And so how do you get all these things in your garden? How do you get them to visit your garden? Well, I always tell people, plant a pollinator camp. Okay, and I'm trying to remember what I mean by camp, but camp stands for carrots, aster, mint, and plantain. And what that is four families of plants that support more pollinators than all the others put together.
Carrots.
So the carrot family. So if you think about it, things in the carrot family, things like even parsley and fennel, produce a ton of nectar in those flowers that they have.
Now, that plant was real bad on the farm, though. We get rid of that stuff.
Right. But the plantain family itself it contains a lot of things like snapdragons and turtle heads and all those
you
things.
You know the kind of plant I'm talking about,
right.
out in the pasture.
News Observer never called you turtle head.
Even the plantain in the pasture is a host plant. Which we have to think about, both they need nectar and pollen, but they also need something to eat as caterpillars. And the plantain is the best host plant for one of our prettiest butterflies, which is called a buckeye butterfly.
Oh, I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, beautiful butterfly, has little eye spots on the back. We've all seen them. There's kind of
brown, didn't know
the
name buckeye.
Yeah, it's kind of brown, orange, purple. It's called buckeye. So planting heavily, particularly this time of year, it's the mint family, which the Russian sage is in, and the aster family that are so important for pollinators moving through. And you might have the milkweed in your garden, but you may not have a lot of flowers going right now. But we need to, because the monarchs that are migrating through also need to eat themselves, not just their young. So that's a great thing to keep in mind when you go to your local garden center is look for things that are in the aster and the mint family. Bumblebees, really interesting.
Yeah. I just love bumblebees.
Oh, they're so neat. I love the bumblebee and you hate the carpenter bee, right?
Yeah.
So just a little bit of size difference, and one has a smooth abdomen, the carpenter bee, and the bumblebee is kind of fuzzy back there.
Right.
But they're really cool animals to me because if you go to really high elevations or the Arctic, I was lucky I got to go everywhere in the world. Those places are dominated by bumblebees as pollinators.
Wonderful.
Because their great big bodies are able to tolerate more cold. And what you're seeing in the evening when they sit down on the plants, they actually sleep on that plant. They get so cold that they can't move anymore, and they're stuck there until the following morning when it warms up and the sun hits them and they can get off and get on their way. So mint plants are particularly favored by bumblebees.
Now, as long as you don't get that creek, what we call creek mint, that I brought from home one time.
Oh.
I should have known better than that.
The old mountain mint, the old, the stuff.
Now, by the way,
mountains.
on a butterfly plant, Patrick.
Yes, sir.
Can you deadhead it and come back again?
So you can cut back most milkweeds and have them both reflower and produce young new foliage. And that's one of the little tricks, particularly people plant the common milkweed, which I wouldn't plant the common milkweed to attract monarchs if I had a small garden because it spreads like wildfire.
Now, what's the one about 3 feet tall?
With the big leaves on it, that's common milkweed.
Okay, you wouldn't do that one.
Well, just because it spreads so fast. But you can. It flowers in May around here, and if you leave that stem up, the old leaves that have been sitting there all year aren't as nutritious for the young caterpillars. So what I do is I cut them back all the way to the ground, and they'll resprout, sometimes reflower, but the fresher growth on those will be favored by monarchs coming through on migration. But there's a couple other excellent milkweeds to plant. The butterfly weed is good. Monarchs will use it, but they like the smoother leaved milkweeds. There's one that actually I introduced from called Sinoida, which is clumping. It doesn't spread. Forms about a 2.5 foot tall just ball of white flowers, and it blooms from April all the way up to September, and then it stops about this time of year. But because it reshoots, it regrows when it gets eaten off and flowers again and again and again. You can raise multiple generations of monarchs on that plant. And there's a local southeastern native that Sinoida is a species found from Texas points west, but it really tolerates drought very well, and it looks great in your home landscape. So the HOAs like it. And there's another one very similar to it called swamp milkweed, but it's not the same. There's two swamp milkweeds. There's the southern swamp milkweed, which is white, and there's the northern one, which is pink. The northern one, which is pink, does not thrive here. But the southern one, which is Asclepias perennis, perennial swamp milkweed, or just called swamp milkweed in the south, has white flowers and is very similar to Sinoida. Those are two fantastic plants. We have a huge crop of monarchs growing on our perennial swamp milkweed out at the downtown park right
when
now.
When you say growing, you mean laid eggs?
They laid eggs, and we're starting to get the first cocoons, or the first chrysalis, I should say, for butterflies forming right now.
Yeah, a plant that's underutilized, I think, is aster.
Oh, asters are great. You brought up a really good thing while we were off air. You were talking about that big old muck sunflower.
Yeah.
And you said, well, if I chop it back late May, early June, then it's bushy and it doesn't fall all over the place.
Yeah.
If we do that with all of our asters, you can do that too. Matter of fact, anything.
Bad to fall over if you don't do that.
Most of the things that flop over, when we think about it, the thoroughworts, the Joe Pye weeds, those are the things that are in the aster family. So if we do something, it's called a Chelsea chop.
Chelsea chop.
Chelsea chop.
Now, I've got something called something of the prairie.
Queen of the prairie.
Queen of the prairie.
Yeah.
It grew and flopped over, so next year I'm going to do the Chelsea chop.
It doesn't work for that one.
Oh, no.
Doesn't work for for gladiolas.
You just chopped me down.
The queen of the prairie, you're probably, now that one you probably have to stake if you don't want it to fall over. But for anything in the aster family, what we do is the last week in May, usually, or first week in June, I'll come back and I'll cut them back to about a foot above the ground or 6 inches above the ground. And they'll bush out and they won't be as apt to fall over. So a lot of our late blooming fall asters, the reason people don't grow them is because they grow on old clay roadsides. They're good southerners. And you put them in that rich garden soil, they just get so big and floppy that folks
are
like,
is that a type of mum aster?
Related. Yes, right. Same family. Yeah.
I think those purple ones are just fab. By the way, we heard from the Joe the Bouncer. Early, you mentioned ways to cook corn.
Chitlin' Club member, Patrick.
Fine, John. One way is to boil it in salted water 3 to 5 minutes and then remove it. This makes slightly al dente. Tell me what that al dente.
We don't use that term in the Chitlin' Club.
But. Yeah, he certainly is. Another way is to leave it in the husk and put it in the oven.
Oh. Now,
I often use my Wolfgang Puck convection oven to do this, since I may cook 2 or so ears, but the oven works fine. So I just stick them in the oven for 35 or so minutes at 325 degrees or so, and comes out delicious. And by the way, there is no stilt grass in Washington State. I may head west.
I bet the stilt grass is heading west, too.
that's our friend Joe the Bouncer.
Well, we haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you need to. We used to occasionally see Patrick. We would see this very tall, very strong-looking gentleman who I must say looked like he had organized crime ties.
Mike named him Joe the Bouncer.
And he looked like a bouncer, and he was standing there. He would show up at our remotes. And he was bringing Rufus some cigars.
Oh, yes.
And that's how we met.
Show up, Joe. Show up.
Joe the Bouncer. And he is somebody
he's a great gardener, too. Great
he is
gardener.
A wonderful person. And I just
think
love
he
his
doesn't
wife.
Like the fact that I gave him those roses of Sharon, so he says they're about a million now.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's why we don't see him anymore?
Maybe taking over his place.
Well, great people.
Speaking of Rose of Sharon, I've got some that are just now blooming, beautiful purple flowers with a yellow center.
Yeah, plants just don't know what to do anymore, Patrick.
Every year seems to be weird, stranger and stranger in terms of what we're seeing with plant flowering and seasonality. It's getting weird.
We'll be back with another hour of the Weekend Gardener here on WPTF.